When you think of country music, you probably think of Nashville. But there's a city here in Southern California that should be mentioned in the same breath. It's Bakersfield, often called Nashville West. The city has its own Music Hall of Fame, and its musical history is even reflected in the motto on the website, "The Sound of Something Better." The musical legacy is now documented in a box set called The Bakersfield Sound, 1940 to 1974.
Farther on in California, over mountains and plains, to the San Joaquin Valley we drew up our reins. For 4 years today, we've lived it just fine in the state of California where the sun always shines.
That's Mary Sullivan, recorded in 1941, singing Sunny California. Historian Scott B. Bomer wrote the liner notes for this box set. He joins me in the studio. Scott, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So this must have been pretty fun to work on.
It was a blast. It was really a labor of love. I actually grew up in Nashville and grew up around the music industry. And when I moved to California and found out how much country music history there was here, I just fell in love with it. And so it was really wonderful to just really dive in.
Now, that's something that many people probably don't know or think of when they think of California, and specifically Bakersfield. What can you say about the Bakersfield sound? What is the Bakersfield sound?
In the most general sense, the Nashville sound is thought of as a little bit more smooth, more polished, more refined. Mm. The Bakersfield sound is regarded as something that's a little rougher, a little twangier, a little edgier.
Yeah, we rock.
What it really comes down to is, in Bakersfield, the music that they were making was music to dance to. Mm. And in Nashville, it was really music that was made for sitting and listening. And that comes from really the story of Dust Bowl refugees who came out to California. It's that Grapes of Wrath story. And so many of the people who were pioneers of the Bakersfield sound really adopted that as the story of their own family and said, you know, that was really an accurate thing. And so these folks moved from places like Oklahoma and Arkansas and Texas, and they came out to California, and they preserved their traditions. They preserved, you know, the type of communities that they had back home, and that included the music. And these were hardworking people. They worked in oil fields. They worked picking crops. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, they wanted to blow off steam. So dancing was, you know, going to honky-tonks and beer halls. And that's really the roots of why Bakersfield's music is a little bit more upbeat, more drum-oriented, more danceable.
Yeah, more danceable. And this box set actually starts with field recordings of migrant workers. Can you point to a specific song on the set that typifies the sound that you're talking about of the 1940s?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because the recordings that were done at the camps, and these were government camps where essentially the government had to step in because people were living in absolute squalor who had gone out to California in search of a better life. The Roosevelt administration stepped in and set up these camps where people could live. And the recordings that you hear from those camps were very much just an acoustic guitar, kind of folk song oriented. You see reflections of artists like Jimmy Rogers, early country artists. But then as you get into the 1940s, you really get into this Western swing thing where there's fiddles and larger bands. And Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys were a really popular Western swing group that actually relocated to California in the 1940s. And they played up and down the West Coast, actually played in Bakersfield every week in 1946. And so there's some great recordings on the box set of Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys live in a Bakersfield radio station. And that really gives you a sense of the kind of music that people were dancing to, kind of in the pre-fully electrified era.
Merrill Haggard once said, referring to himself and Buck Owens, that we represent the end results of all the years of country music in this town, Bakersfield. Let's take Buck Owens first. What place does he hold in the history of Bakersfield and that sound he's talking about?
Buck Owens is the archetype of the Bakersfield sound. Buck Owens had his own band, whereas artists in Nashville typically would record with studio musicians. Buck recorded and toured with his own band. And it was a pretty upbeat, revved up, again, danceable kind of sound that was pretty unique in that time. And you hear pedal steel guitar, two electric guitars, bass and drums. Buck didn't write a lot of, you know, crying in your beer type songs. Yeah. He wrote a lot of upbeat, feel good, you know, roll down your windows kind of songs. And Buck really understood. He worked at a radio station for a time, and he understood that it was important to make your records sound great coming out of your car radio, because he knew that's how people listened
to music. That's how people listened. Yeah.
And, you know, so he really kind of perfected that thing. And I think that when people say the Bakersfield sound, almost what they mean is the Buck Owens sound. He's the true embodiment of it.
Let's listen to a little bit of that, The Second Fiddle by Buck Owens.
I'll play second fiddle to your new love while it lasts. Just like all the others I played for in the past. Why can't I be a leader and play a leading part? Why must I always have to play second fiddle in your heart?
As you mentioned, Owens is, of course, the guy, and he's also a Country Music Hall of Famer, as is Haggard. How rooted in Bakersfield is Merle Haggard's music as well?
Well, Merle Haggard is one of the few people who was actually born in Bakersfield. A lot of these other folks who were creating what we now call the Bakersfield sound were coming there as children from places like Texas and Arkansas and Oklahoma. Buck's mom and dad had migrated out to California from Oklahoma, but he was born there. And he was actually raised in a train car that his father converted into a small house for their family. So Merle was a true son of Bakersfield. He grew up in that environment. And, you know, in addition to Buck Owens, Merle Haggard is, he's the other pillar. Those are the twin pillars of the Bakersfield sound. And very different in a lot of ways. You know, they worked with a lot of the same musicians. They had similar sounds at times. But where Buck was really all about that upbeat, fun kind of music, Merle was called the poet of the common man.
And poet of the common man.
He wrote some really insightful and thoughtful, reflective kind of songs about the migrant experience in California and about heartbreak. And, you know, he just was one of those rare people who was gifted as a true musical poet. And, you know, I put him up there with Bob Dylan or Woody Guthrie, you know, the icons of American songwriting.
Let's hear what you're talking about here with Merle Haggard's California Cotton Fields.
California cotton fields, where labor camps were filled with worried men with broken dreams. California cotton fields, as close to wealth as daddy ever came.
Can you talk a little bit about the influence of Bakersfield on other places, on the world? You talked about how radio came into play and how these two pillars really influenced other artists. But give us a sense of how that sound traveled.
Yeah, it's funny because I think today people who maybe are not really into country music, but they just kind of have an idea maybe of what country music is, they're probably more apt to be thinking of Bakersfield than they are to be thinking of the stuff that's coming out of Nashville.
Really?
Bakersfield is that real honky-tonk, twangy, electric guitars, pedal steel guitar, you know, and I think if people just have a rudimentary understanding of, well, what is country music? That's kind of what they think about. And so oddly enough, I think Bakersfield influenced the public concept of what country music is almost more than any other strain of country music's history. And You know, Ken Burns recently did this fantastic country music documentary and really shone a spotlight on all of the various roots and branches that make up country music's complex story. Mm-hmm. But Bakersfield is so important in that. And it really, I think, set what Buck Owens and Merle Haggard did was take that music from a local musical scene, introduced it to the world in a way that people really just latched onto, and it had reverberations that we continue to hear in modern country music today.
This is very fascinating. I can't wait to listen to your entire box set, which I can't carry on a plane. It's kind of heavy.
It's a little big. 8 pounds, I believe it is.
8 pounds.
Eight pounds.
But beautiful artwork and such a rich history. A booklet, 224 pages, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That is a book in itself. Thank you so much for your time. Scott B. Bomar, he is the sound historian for the new box set of the Bakersfield Sound from 1940 to 1974. Scott, thank you.
Thanks, Tanya.